My name is Alex Homachuk. I'm a digital resources librarian at the University of Winnipeg. And today it's my pleasure to introduce Dan Scott from Laurentian and his presentation titled Standard Social Sharing and Aggregation on the Go. I hope I got that right. Yeah, so it kind of buzzes off the page and it sounds like it's going to be an exciting presentation. I recently met Dan in person for the first time yesterday. We sort of co-coordinated the Hackfest pre-conference. From his role of MC, he sort of exuded excitement and enthusiasm for developers, on par with such figures as Steve Ballmer, but you know, without the frothing insanity. So I'm happy to report that Hackfest this year was a tremendous success, and I'd like to thank Dan for all of his help. It was fantastic, and I'm looking forward to the Hackfest report tomorrow. So to introduce Dan Scott, he has been the systems librarian for Laurentian University since 2006, and a developer on the Evergreen open source library system since 2007. In 2009, he led the migration of the Conifer Consortium of Academic and Special Libraries to Evergreen. And outside of libraries, Dan can often be found roasting coffee while lurking on IRC channels and on mailing lists related to library technology. Get well soon, Dan. Thanks, Dan.
Alex, sorry, we'll do this. All right. The mic, excellent, good sound. Alex actually did all the hard work for the Hackfest because he got the wireless access working for everybody. I didn't hear any complaints, which is, you know, one of the critical parts of Hackfest. So thank you, Alex, as well as all of the amenities, the resources, everything was great. So anyways, enough about that. Standard social sharing and aggregation on the go. When I put together the proposal for this presentation, kind of thought I'd try to hit a number of the points that were asked for in the call for proposals. And then when I started trying to refine it, I decided that I needed to carve out a space that I could actually cover in a reasonable amount of time because the scope was huge. So I think I found something that's at least worthy of discussion. Now, the interesting part for me is that talking about social technology and social media, I'm not necessarily the first person you'd think about because I haven't had a Facebook account since November 2009. I'm not really all that active on Twitter. I am active on Identica, but Identica is a status.net, sort of an open source version of Twitter. It is all about open standards for sharing. And it's a very small community, small focus community. But for me, it's more of the community of people that I like to interact with on a day-to-day basis, so that's my sort of social realm. I do have a LinkedIn account, so some of the big sort of social areas I participate in, but only tangentially. And our first speaker talking about peep culture today, the keynote speaker, I've been reading the Jared Lanier book, You're Not a Gadget, his manifesto, and it talks about the fragmentation that occurs in social media. And I happened to just start reading that about 2 or 3 days ago, and it fits pretty nicely with some of the themes that we've been looking at today, and are looking at through the conference, and what I'm talking about, in that the fragmentation is seen as trying to divorce the human from the data that is useful for advertisers to collect and create profiles. So when I think about social media in the context of libraries, I want to try and hook that back into the person and connecting people together and not doing it for the purposes of figuring out how we can sell more stuff to them. And I think that's what most of us are here for. So hopefully that's a resonant tone within the room. And we do have some social impacts right now that I have not been involved with building, so there are probably other people who should be talking about some of these things rather than me. So the user-friendly aspect is obviously an important part. BiblioCommons, I think, has done an excellent job of encouraging their community of users to share information about themselves, but to do it in a way that helps those who are using the public library's resources to come together and find more resources that they're interested in. So you can see on this, there's a number of different features. The My rating for a given book, comments, tags, more. Reviews are a big part of this. Social OPAC is another one that John Blyberg has talked about, and it kind of relaunched a couple of years ago. He rewrote Social OPAC, the 2.0 version, and it's, I mean, as it suggests, it's designed to be the social OPAC. So these are examples of interfaces that have done a good job of pulling things together. And WorldCat also has a number of features. I kind of highlighted, though, in comparison to some of the other ones, the girl who kicked the dragon, the hornet's nest, probably one of the most popular books on the best reading right now, doesn't have any reviews on WorldCat. And this is the Alfred Knopf 2010 edition. It's not an obscure edition. And they seem to have a lot of the same UI widgets. So I just put this up as sort of interesting that perhaps one of the largest global interfaces that we have for libraries and information hasn't seemed to attract, in this particular instance, any sort of feedback. Just a point isn't going through, but on the usability side, everything looks quite usable. So there are other OPACs and discovery layers, library systems that provide social features, COA, Viewfind, Blacklight, Scribbler. It sounds like Polaris has a review sort of functionality based on presentation that we had earlier. But a lot of these, or I guess the common problem that I've seen with these solutions seem to be that they're all about our local library. They're looking very much at a very library-centric existence. They're not necessarily engaging people to come into our library presence and enter into conversations. And the thing that bothered me the most is probably the lack of sharing of data. On a completely different side of talking about social sharing or social media, the prescient Daniel Chudnov in 2007 gave a presentation that I think few of us who attended it really understood what he was going at. But what he was going at was trying to use standard protocols outside of the library world to enable behaviors like sharing and discovery, serendipity, within the library or within the context of libraries. So he was looking at things like open search and zeroconf and sort of the iTunes set of protocols, Bonjour, etc., that would enable people to hook together, meet together, find similar people, similar interests, and similar resources. So 2007, he kind of, you know, laid this out there, and unfortunately, it didn't pick up very much adoption. But I like how he's waving his hands around, trying to help the understanding. So our good friend Aristotle, a few years ago, wrote, this is often translated as man is a social animal, but the, you know, H.G. Bone translation from 1853, which is readily available on Google Books, but I've got a version of the Nicomachean Ethics on my bookshelf as a former philosophy major, talks about how man is a social being. We by nature, want to associate, and it's better to pass our time with friends and good people than with just indiscriminate strangers. So what we want for to be happy, a happy person, is to have friends. This is, I think, hooks in with Hal's presentation in the keynote and Jared Lanier's theme about the depersonalization or the exposure with no sort of qualitative components associated to the sharing, the friendships, the attachments that you make in many of the current social and online communities. So, happy people have friends. Surprise! And one of the things that's required to make and keep a friend, or at least in most friendships that I've experienced, is you need to share about yourself. You need to share your personal information. Now, you don't need to share it necessarily with the world, but you want to share with other people your opinions, your feelings. You want to have a give and take conversations. So there are many online services that do allow that sort of sharing in a natural way. As you're performing the activity, you have the ability to add comments that other people can pick up on, reply to, and have some level of engagement with those people. You have the ability to say who you are, maybe what your hometown is, give some biographical information about yourself. Today, we don't really do a lot of that, or at least I haven't found a lot of that in library software, library applications. Historically, this could go back to presentations at Access from previous years. Historically, we've been very concerned about sharing any sort of information at a patron level. Privacy has been paramount, and the ability to actually open up has not been one of the goals that we've expressly looked at. But in the context of social media, that's a requirement if you really want to have meaningful engagement. I think that libraries or our library interfaces and a receipt slip that you might print out at a self-check is an example of an interface, albeit a paper and a paper manifestation of interface. We can be a little bit more personal, potentially, than utilities. And an interesting story about that scanned receipt slip, the citation at the bottom is from the Lusty Reader blog, post Gump's Mama might have said. The Lusty Reader is a person who is very interested in libraries, and specifically romantic fiction. And she posted this because she found a book receipt in one of the books that she had checked out. And she was ruminating about how she wished that she could get access to more of these book receipts, because they provide her with a path of potential other things to read that she's interested in. If the book that she's reading matches her expectations, then the person who had checked this book out before her might also be a person of good taste, and she might want to kind of follow on. Now, this is a one-time match between the two. In a lusty relationship, I guess that sort of happens sometimes. But we have social media that that can enable that sort of connection to occur on a recurring basis. So people can find other people who have similar interests, and they can share their interests together. We don't have to become Facebook. I mean, I don't think libraries need to go to the extreme of setting up our own Justin Bieber fan pages and, you know, having that extremely artificial level of interaction between people and a given object. I think there's a genuine level of social interaction that we can try and facilitate through the software that we deploy through our websites. And I'll try and look at a little bit of that. I said earlier that we need to be able to get people into our libraries. And that may be the case. We need to get our data out of the libraries, out in the hands of the people that we care about. So a lot of the examples that we talked about had a very sort of centralized approach to social information. So BiblioCommons is actually interesting in that it pools information from all the partners who are using BiblioCommons. So reviews within BiblioCommons libraries are shared, but they don't go outside of BiblioCommons libraries. You've got to be a part of that. WorldCat, I think, is shared amongst everybody, if I understand correctly. But it doesn't seem to have much data. And maybe that's just a matter of not enough libraries using WorldCat local yet, or pushing those sorts of features. I don't know. Can't explain. But it seems like a lot of the other discovery systems, like ViewFind or the co-OPACs, are all designed to work within a given library or the instance of that that software, and not really looking to try and aggregate the software. Again, 2008, I think Steve Tube and Martha Whitehead were talking about some of the social features that they were testing out and talking with students at Queen's University about, things like tagging. And the students recognize tagging as something you do in Facebook, where you identify a person within a photo. But tagging, as we've sort of typically used it within libraries, didn't mean anything to them. And indeed, the sort of tagging action is something that most places recognize as identifying something within something else, but doing it in a concrete manner, not in terms of a cataloging activity or a categorization activity. It's a, this is a specific object or person that I recognize within this this context. So my friends in Vancouver, if I write a review in my socially enabled OPAC, I don't want to have to send a link to them to say, here, go and check this out, and come into my OPAC and view it. I'd ideally like that sort of review. If I want to share that with them, I want it to come through the channels that we use to stay in contact, whether that is Facebook, which it is not for me, but for many people it is, or whether it's through Twitter, or whether it's through RSS feeds, even, something simple like that. My friend should be able to see that review and potentially respond to it without having to enter into my OPAC, especially if our OPACs have barriers, which thankfully most of those are seem to be going away, with session ID identifiers, non-persistent URLs, all the barriers to actually participating and interacting. And my friends are interested in my life. I mean, I've some of my best friends I see every couple of years, but we stay in touch, and when we get together, it's like we haven't been apart. But we do stay in touch sporadically. So one sort of example sequence is a discussion via electronically mediated form about me reading to my daughter. I've been reading Through the Looking Glass in an ebook edition on my phone to my daughter at night. She thinks that's really cool. She's like 4 and a half, so she probably shouldn't be, she should probably still be reading picture books, but she likes the electronic side of things. So Through the Looking Glass is pretty cool. So a potential interaction is Cindy, my friend in Vancouver, can react and say, you know, Amber's growing up so fast, which is what Cindy has said. Eric is kind of, he's always been my idol, the sort of counterculture indie guy. He's the kind of guy that would go back and, you know, read Through the Looking Glass again and kind of see it through the same lens that I've seen. And then we can compare notes again. Keith is my friend who sets up the hockey pools that he pulls me into that I know very little about, but he wants me to participate because he's my friend, and, you know, he'll have his quick reaction. So these are the sorts of, I mean, it seems obvious to talk about these sort of interactions that we have with our friends, but again, they're qualitatively very different from the interactions that, say, Hal was talking about this morning. These are the sorts of things that I think we want to try and encourage in social media for a genuine interaction between people, the genuine possibility of making connections between people in new ways. So, as I've kind of alluded to, we've created libraries as sort of a social misfit in some ways to this point. There's some great user interfaces, but we've kind of locked up all that data in yet another silo or another set of silos. We're really good at creating silos and we don't need anymore. So I guess my primary message is that I'd really like to see libraries share, aggregate, bring data together so that we can make those connections in a broader scope than just the small communities that we've had. So the social OPAC screenshot from this. One of the design principles of the social OPAC, and many of you in the audience are probably saying, well, that's what the social OPAC was designed to do. There's an InSurge module that John created, designed to share social data between libraries, things like reviews and ratings. So I went to Ann Arbor Library, which was where John created the first social OPAC, and they're currently running social OPAC 2. Checked out the reviews for The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Went to the Darien Public Library, which is where John Weiberg is now. Checked out the reviews for the exact same edition of The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, because I wanted to take the ISBN equivalents out of the scenario. Different sets of reviews. I sent an email message to John saying, so did you ever get that actual, the promise of InSurge actually working in practice? I mean, it seems clear that it's not being used in practice today, unfortunately, 2 years on. And he hasn't responded, but I did find a forum post by Steve Tube to the SOPAC forums asking about the InSurge capabilities and the problems of matching one set of bibliographic records to another for the purposes of matching up the reviews and the social data. And John said, yeah, we're trying to figure out how to solve that problem, and we need to solve that problem before we can really get it working, and that's where the thread died two years ago. So unfortunately, I don't think the promise has followed through, but that was a library created API for sharing data. And there's not many people working on it. John and maybe Steve looked at it for a little bit. Not many people working on a problem. It's not going to get uptake. It's not going to get solved if it's not a problem that's seen as being important. So again, why am I talking about this? Especially since I'm pretty closely identified with the Evergreen open source library system. And if you've checked out the catalog for the Evergreen library system, it is not a social interface in any way. It's far from it. It has lots of problems. The only social part of the current interface are the public book bags. The only way that you can share a book bag is by sending somebody a link to that book bag. There's no way of exploring, the lists that people have created, at least out of the box. So I have an interest in making Evergreen better in as many ways as I can. It's just a passion of mine. So I want to help Evergreen make friends. And I want to help Evergreen make friends not just with other Evergreen libraries, not just with other Evergreen libraries within the same instance, but I want Evergreen to make friends with library systems of all kinds, whether it's Polaris, or whether it's COBA, or whether it's Symfony, even. So what I wanted to do was, instead of creating a new library standard, or a library approach, I wanted to take current standards for social sharing, try implementing those in Evergreen, and see what happens. I'm in no way a user experience designer. I'm in no way a designer of any kind. I can create HTML that validates, and the interface will look like crap. So take that for what it's worth. So the standard that I became very interested in specifically was the Activity Stream standard. The Activity Stream spec is an extension of the Atom protocol. Atom is like RSS feeds. It's an XML format used for expressing feeds of information. The Activity Stream specification adds in some extensions to it for the sort of an RDF style actor, verb, object set of relationships. So instead of having a feed of just, say, books that might be of interest if you're looking at a book list, you can add in to that, we'll look at some examples, but essentially some contextual meaning for those for that stream. So it's a standardized, becoming a standard means of syndicating social activity. The first real draft of the Activity Streams extension went up in, I think, spring of 2010, and the 1.0 draft is just being finalized now. I can say, to my credit as a participant in the specification process, I have one typo and two extra XML elements that I've personally added to the specification. Pretty critical stuff. It is being generated and consumed by real services today, so small things like Facebook emits activity streams. I think they've got an API for pulling it in. MySpace, for as much as MySpace is still being used. Anyone remember MySpace? Windows Live. Microsoft is actually very heavily involved in the creation of this protocol. Google Buzz. There is at least 30 or 40 people still using Google Buzz. One of the things I really like about Google Buzz is that it is built on all kinds of open standards. They didn't necessarily handle the rollout all that well, but that doesn't mean the technology isn't good. It couldn't be reused for good purposes. So Activity Streams. My animations aren't working all that well, but so be it. That's the Activity Streams icon, if you ever see it. It's obscuring the words that that basically tells you what I've told you. The actor, verb, and object relationships are really the core principles for extending Atom XML. We know how to publish XML. We know how to publish Atom XML. It's a small step to go from there to publish activity streams in a meaningful fashion. And it's being used and generated and consumed today. So it comes from outside the library world. It's something that we can very easily add to the library world, and we know that there is a whole host of developers behind it, strengthening it. So because it's important to have a unreadable screen of some sort of code or source, this is an XML example. There is an author, there is a activity verb, an activity object, and activity target that serve to identify these things. And we typically use URIs to identify the types of objects and the types of verbs. So there is a vocabulary, a standardized vocabulary, that's adopted as the core specification. So we can link to those. There are, for those objects or verbs that have not been defined as part of the core, it's possible to provide fallbacks so that a consumer can represent this in a fashion that makes some sort of sense. But if a consumer understands your extension, then it can do it in an even more meaningful fashion. So more XML, a little bit larger, probably still far from being able to be read. One of the interesting bits of this, though, is that it's also mixing in or mashing in some of the other extensions. Portable contacts is being used for personal information about the actor. It can be used about the object as well if you want to pull that in. So verb, object, target, actor. And there is an extension, or part of one of the options is to have a target. So to make this more concrete, an example action might be, create is a standard action. Create list, it would be the object. So if I created a book bag, I would be the actor, verb would be create, list would be the standardized object. If I then added a book to that book bag, we still have an object. The object in this case would be the book. The actor would be me. The activity would be posting to the list or the book bag. And the target would be the book bag. Sorry, did I keep that all clear? Book, object, verb, post, or adding to the book bag, actor, me, and target being the book bag. Okay. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Okay. I did talk about location in the overview of this, so I took the extremely easy way out and used the GORRSS specification. Just namespace, an XML namespace that you can add in. And the way that the activity streams people have suggested using this is just to use the point element. And there's an HTML5 browser API that's supported by every important browser except for Internet Explorer. I think it might be in Internet Explorer 9, but it's in Firefox, Safari, Chrome, that will grab your location, prompts the user to see if they're willing to allow their location to be sent to the service, and just encodes that as a point. So you can add the context of the location where the activity occurred to an activity stream feed element pretty simply. So there's your location. All right. For users, so I haven't solved any of the problems about my friends in Vancouver being able to follow what I'm doing on my in my particular set of libraries I might interact with or interfaces. So there's an extension called the XHTML Friends Network. It's a micro format, probably one of the simplest micro formats out there. You add the rel attribute to link or elements in HTML. And you can define the relationship. Rel stands for relationship. So rel equals me is an assertion that I'm this person. If it's a link element, then we're pointing to, say, a web page. So if I say link relationship equals me, and I'm linking to coffeecode.net, I'm linking to my personal homepage. If I'm putting this link in from my library OPAC, my user page on a library OPAC, then I'm making an assertion that coffeecode.net is me. If something crawling the social graph starts at that library user page, notice all sorts of assumptions there, that there's a library user page that's visible to the public. If they follow that link, they go to coffeecode.net, and they say a link element with a relationship equals me pointing back to that library user page. That's an assertion, since I control both sides, that that actually is Dan Scott. This is my profile in the OPAC. This is my profile on my homepage. My homepage might have all kinds of other links, relationship equals me, pointing to my Twitter account, my identity account, my Google profile, my Twitter account, etc. And that's how the social graph can very easily discover all the places that I exist, all the things that I'm posting, pull it together for people who are interested in following me and all the things that I'm doing, i.e. my friends in Vancouver. So that format is easy to use. What not to do? Identica doesn't make me very happy today, because the only way I can express that I am my Identica account is to point my homepage, which is the only spot in the Identica profile, to my Google profile. So rather than saying coffeecode.net is my homepage, I have to say that google.com/profile/denials is my my homepage, which is kind of a lot. It's really just an aggregation point for my stuff. So that's not very nice. That's primarily a status.net problem. They should add the options, and this is a lesson to apply to our OPACs. They should add the option to identify many of your accounts, so you can be crawled in many ways if you want to expose yourself in such a way. And then there's the SAMN protocol, which is used to, if people want to reply to a review or a rating or a tag, if they see that I rated Stieg Larsson's latest novel, last novel, 2 stars, put in a nasty review about it, they may want to reply to it. Now, if they see that and they're seeing it outside of the OPAC because it's been crawled and it's been aggregated back to, say, alllibraryreviews.org, because there's a nice centralized collection of all of this library review data, and they want to reply to it, there needs to be a way for that reply to get back to the user who initially posted it. So SAMN is a protocol that uses all kinds of letters, too many letters for me to run through with my current state of my tongue, to alert the user to say, look, this conversation is going on, it started, or the conversation has continued in a different place, you might want to be aware of it. If any of this sounds familiar to people, how many people have used FriendFeed? Yeah, it used to be pretty popular in the library world. The activity stream standardization effort came out of FriendFeed's experience in trying to aggregate the social actions of, I think they got to 70 different services via a terrible combination of screen scraping and understanding customized feeds before they said, this is ridiculous and we need to standardize as a group of people trying to do the same sort of thing. So SAMN is one of the ways to get it back. So library activities are not well represented in the current core objects and verbs within the activity stream specification. So one of the areas of exploration is to start standardizing that. The reason it's not standardized is because the IETF process tends to work on the principle of encoding existing practices. And since we haven't really been exposing any of our social actions haven't really been exposing it at all in a crawlable sort of sense, there's nothing to encode. So we kind of need to start by creating some examples, or adding this ability to some applications before we can effectively encode it and make it a part of the core standard. But there's a draft about books that MySpace started about 7 months ago. They just put a book object up there because in MySpace apparently some people are talking about books and not music. But it hasn't gone any further than that. So that's an example of an area where we could jump in and start helping out pretty quickly. So one of the things that I thought looked really interesting was Google Books. It looked like it was doing a huge or a great job of aggregating the social data. If you look at the number at the top left, tiny little number, 791 reviews about the hornet's nest. Unfortunately, when I dug into it, 791 of those reviews came from Amazon.com. And the reason I'm not a big fan of the Amazon.com reviews is that people are motivated on Amazon.com by a very different reason than people are motivated in the library world to post reviews about things. It's not necessarily so much about passion as it is about getting referral links to sell items. So there's a bit of a contamination of some of that that data. At least that's my experience. So they haven't done, Google hasn't done really a good job at all of trying to aggregate this data either. I mean, 769 reviews out of 791 reviews coming from Amazon means there's not a lot going on for one of the bestseller books of the year. 5 minutes? Great. That's actually just about perfect. So what have I done in Evergreen to explore this? Starting point is that Evergreen really kind of sucks for social stuff right now. They had unwieldy URLs, tons and tons and tons of CGI parameters, but at least you can bookmark them. Too much JavaScript to really be very friendly. The atom feeds that we were generating for BookBag, etc., won't properly validate. They've got lots of problems. And we don't have any real social features in it. So I had lots to work with. I started by just building a basic about page. As I said, my HTML skills are great, I can validate it. My UI design skills, not so good. I think the next step I'd probably do is put in some tabs with a little jQuery stuff. But yeah, the idea is that I could show, if I wanted to as a user, express the things that I've checked out, the reviews, the lists, the actions that I've done. I need to have a page that exists in the context of the library to show this stuff off and to provide a landing point for people who are interested in learning more about me. And then I built an activity stream representing user actions and representing actions that have occurred to objects, i.e. reviews that have been added to objects. And it doesn't look all that fancy in Firefox because Firefox is really just taking the base atom format. It doesn't understand the extensions for activity streams. But a consumer that is activity stream aware would be able to do more interesting things with this. So take that as an assertion. It's true. You can trust me. So on the other side, I have published a branch of this code. It's not ready for prime time. It's not ready to be put into core. There's tons of work that we need to do on the UI. There's tons of work we need to do figuring out how the user interface properly works and the right defaults for users. BiblioCommons has done tons of that work. I wish I could steal lots of it from them. But who knows? We'll see what we can do. I think by the Evergreen 2.1 release, we should be able to have a working set of this code in place with a standardized method of sharing and exposing this data. So I would really like to see other places, other library systems, implement activity streams. It's really not that hard if you've got the ability to get access to the actions, the history of your users. We need to be able to crawl the feeds and aggregate the data so that we can build these sets of reviews ourselves rather than relying on third-party services to do it. And that is the way that we'll be able to actually find the person at the other side of the review to make that connection. That might be the connection that you need to find more information in your area of interest, find more fiction in your area of interest, etc. We still need to solve the problem of how we find your bibs and match them up to our bibs. We've started a bit of a discussion on the Evergreen discussion list, but there's enough minds in this room that I bet the problem has been solved or close to solved already, and we just need to lean on that. So, for the couple of minutes maybe that I have left, there's plenty of areas that we could talk about. I'd be very happy to take some questions or have you share some thoughts. Because I think there's probably lots of people who have lots of thoughts. All right. I think we're good.